It's Barbershop Topic of the Day. I got to admit, man, this is like my favorite segment throughout the week. Always put together topics that people love to talk about. Now, this one was interesting. I sent this one to the group yesterday, guys, because I was very, very shocked to see this. This is an article that was put out by CBSSports.com. And it says, the you can tell it's not really clickbait because the title is MLB Managerial Hot Seat. Blue Jays John Schneider and Cardinals Ole Marmol. They're both at risk. That's no big deal, right? We all know that. Mm-hmm. Those two managers are underachieving. It talked about Bud Black as well. Somebody else was on there too. Oh, talk about the interims. How, you know, Grady Sizemore? Do you really want him back? But this is a category called possible playoff floppers. Some might otherwise successful managers be at risk if their respective teams don't enjoy a deep playoff run next month. We speak of Dave Roberts of the Dodgers.
He sucks.
Aaron Boone of the suck. Aaron Boone of the Yankees. Does.
Dave Roberts is terrible. Go ahead, finish.
Dave Roberts is a by-the-book manager. Mm-hmm. But because you only won one World Series with the best lineup in baseball for the past 6 years, you need to find another book.
Even better, Dave Roberts is a color-by-numbers thing, and everything has to be listed on how he should do it.
Yeah.
And even then, everything has to be by the book. Look at how lost he looks in the postseason when it's time to pull a pitcher. And he's like, huh?
Well, the card doesn't say right now. Throw another pitch.
Yeah.
Okay, now's the time. It has Aaron Boone of the Yankees. You agree with that?
Absolutely.
I think that star is faded.
Mm-hmm. And it says Brandon Hyde of the Orioles. Given the trio's success this season and the varying extents in recent seasons, the default assumption should be that all three are safe no matter how the playoffs unfold. Let's note that Brandon Hyde's Orioles have yet to clinch a berth. This is before they clinch. But what if one of these managers oversees an early exit? Ed, do you believe Orioles in a wild card get swept 2 games?
Mm-hmm.
Is Brandon Hyde on the hot seat?
No.
This is not saying Brandon Hyde is fired. It's saying he'd be on the hot seat.
Not really.
You don't think so?
Unless
early exit.
Unless there was some kind of real egregious, you know, managing error. Or either some kind of a dumb bullpen move or something that really just blows up. And it's not like people say, well, yeah, that's baseball. It's like, why would you do like the Buck thing with, you know, Ubaldo instead of Britton? I mean, something like that where it's like, what are you doing?
Even like I've been one of the few people like I understood what Buck was doing with Britton. Mm-hmm. Didn't like it necessarily. It's the same thing when people bring up giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line, you know, on second down. They had one.
I'm still bitter about that.
But they had one timeout left, so it's like you're going to throw it on one of these downs. Just don't throw it inside, and they threw it inside. You know, like, and I get the complaints after the fact because I was even saying if you give them the ball and you got to call a timeout, then you let them know you're throwing it on third down. Because if you're not, then the clock's going to run out if you don't get it. So I understood it. Again, it's philosophy and whether or not you agree with it. I don't think there's anything from a philosophical standpoint of what Brandon Hyde does game to game that could cause him to lose his job, even if they got swept in the postseason. I just don't see. I mean, what could he have done to sit here and say, hey, I lost this team? They had an amazing record. They had one of the best records in the American League. Really? Yeah, the second half wasn't what you wanted, right? You had a lot of injuries. You're still dealing with those injuries. Those guys are coming back. We shall see how it plays out, but I don't think there's anything he could do on the field or whatever, in the play, to get let go after this year.
Oh, I don't either.
I'm going to say again, I don't believe this CBSSports.com article is clickbait just because of the title alone. You had to read it to find out about those other three managers, Dave Roberts, Aaron Boone, Brandon Hyde. So it's not clickbait. I just say I disagree with it because the front office knows when you have guys coming back, it's the end of September. You finally got your whole roster back. You have less than a week left of the season. We'd love for it all to fall in place, but don't we also know that there's a chance that it won't all fall in place? Because as you said, Jeremy, Are these guys going to have enough at-bats going into the postseason to really get back in the swing of things? We hope they do, but there's a chance that they don't.
Well, we've already seen Westberg hitting. The only thing I don't know about Westberg is the power there. You know, like, I think base hits and doubles and all that stuff, are we going to see the power numbers from him right off the bat? And the same thing with Ramon. Ryan Mountcastle, to me, is the one I'm most concerned about just because I haven't seen him. Haven't seen anything. Like, when Westberg went down to the minors, we saw the hits and the stuff that was going on. But again, there's nothing in my mind that Brandon Hyde could do from a managerial standpoint that would get him fired this offseason.
You know what this article tells me, Ed? That the writer of that article had high expectations preseason on the Orioles or somewhere in the season, because no one talks about the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Orioles in the same light unless there were high expectations of those teams.
I guess, yes. I just feel like, and funny, I agreed wholeheartedly with the other ones. Blue Jays, Yankees, Dodgers, absolutely. I don't agree with Hyde. And it's not, I don't think it's being a homer either. I get the other. I just think with the payrolls the others have and the talent they've had and have done nothing.
The Blue Jays are going to have another manager next year. Yeah. You knew that when they let go of
Gibbons.
Gavin Biggio. When they released Gavin Biggio was that manager's guy in the clubhouse. That was his guy. And that was kind of it's funny because we were in Toronto when that happened, or just left Toronto. And I talked to Buck up there. He said, well, that was the beginning of the end of him. That's them letting him know, look, this your guy? We're getting rid of your guy. You're next.
Yeah.
But they didn't believe at any point that they were good enough this year to get into the postseason, so they didn't make the move now.
See, I just pictured John Schneider like Goodfellas walking in that room like Joe Pesci did. And just seeing the empty room and going, no. Yeah, you're fired, you jackass.
That was a great scene. Yeah. I hate Joe Pesci getting offed because that's my dude.
Spoiler alert.
But that is, if you haven't seen that movie yet, if you haven't seen that movie yet, you have no interest and you won't.
Yeah, but if you're going to watch Goodfellas 2 Electric Boogaloo when they save the rec center afterwards, the mafia does, make sure you see part one first. You're not going to understand part two.
World of Stupid. More stuff like that at 8:45. But on the other side, we're taking your phone calls. If the Orioles have an early exit, does that change things for Brandon Hyde with the organization? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I just think that just shows that Twitter is not a reflection of how people actually feel, maybe.
Can we say that one more time, please, into the camera?
I deleted Twitter 2 months ago. No, I just haven't been on it, but.
You got to get rid of it. We've been defending that whole Brandon Hyde has lost the clubhouse thing for quite some time. I'm in the clubhouse. That's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. You heard a player there, Ron O'Hearn, said it's not to get the picture of what's going on. Kevin Brown, the reason why he was the one that's interviewing, the reason why he said say it again, because he knows how ridiculous it is. However, there's an article on CBSSports.com that talked about managers on the hot seat. And it suggests, not saying, that Brandon Hyde could be on the hot seat with an early exit from the postseason. I don't think that's the case. I don't. I think that's maybe a next year conversation if that indeed happens. I don't think, Jeremy, that's a this year conversation.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think some of this has to build up. You have to have a reason why. Like, could we honestly look at this season and say there were a ton of injuries, some things went awry in the second half, not only to pitching, to hitters, you're constantly trying to replace it. You had a trade deadline where not a lot of big splashes went down. You made some moves to help yourself. I think you had one of the best gets in the pitcher that's going
today.
The
best pitcher.
And Zach Eflin. Yeah. But you know, like they made some trades that are probably going to be for the future as well. Mm-hmm. So when I look at this team, there's nothing that Brandon Hyde did this year to make me say he shouldn't be back next year. Again, the one thing that could happen, and I don't think any of this is going on, and Rob, I'm sure you know better than we do, unless there's some kind of discontent between him and management, which we've never heard anything about.
I don't think there is. I can't speak to that wholeheartedly.
But you get what I'm saying. Like,
It's because sometimes, Jeremy, that happens and we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have professionals involved, good professionals who know how to keep that stuff under wraps. They would have to be great professionals for that to surface during the offseason, because if you ask me based on what I think, I would say, no, I don't think so. I can't speak to authority on that. But what I can say is he has this clubhouse. And I'll also tell you this. I think you would probably disrupt the clubhouse by not bringing him back next year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's how much he has it. I think he's done a great job, and I think the job, I said before, he was manager of the year last year by Baseball Writers Association. I think he had a better year this year in managing with all the injuries.
Yes, I was going to say, I think he did a great job managing because this was a real challenge because of all the injuries. It wasn't just a couple. It wasn't just like he lost, oh, well, John Means is out again. Oh, Bradish, the guy who was Cy Young candidate, he's out now. It was everybody. They're like, everybody seemed to be gone at one point or another. So, I mean, he had to really shuffle a lot of different bodies in and out, and I think he did a really good job. And the fact is, people talking about them like, you know, they're falling apart. I saw some local writers here. The guy's, I guess, trying to be controversial, too. Like, you know, you can't spell collapse without an O. And like, oh, get out of here.
So cool.
Stop it.
Let's go to Dundalk.
Right behind the Yankees.
Let's go to Dundalk and get Andy. What's up, Andy?
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Doing well. How are you?
I've been saying for over 10 years, Harbaugh needs to go. I'm just on that bus. He can't be out of town fast enough for me. Where Brandon Hyde is concerned, there's one scenario where I could see the fans wanting him out of town, maybe not the Orioles management, and that is Brandon Hyde doesn't handle the pitching staff very well at all, in my opinion. It is my opinion.
Like what?
I think he pulls relief pitchers when they've thrown less than 10 pitches. When you're pitching really well, like Cano last week or the other day, he threw two pitches, and the next inning there was a new pitcher.
Let me ask you this, Andy. When if I say somebody does something and not right, normally I have a comparison. So he pulls pitchers out too soon in comparison to who?
Well, I'll tell you the same way Jim Palmer would say it because I've heard him say it on the air. If you throw enough pitchers in a game on a regular basis, you're going to find a pitcher that's not having a good day. So when you're in a one- or a two-run ball game using five pitchers or six pitchers out of the bullpen, you're going to run into those guys that aren't having good days. But the point, 40 or 50 pitches to warm up, and then they come in and they only throw two or five or seven.
But, Andy, again, I'm asking you this. You say he pulls them. He doesn't handle them well. He pulls them out too soon in comparison to who? Because my point is this. That's baseball, Andy. That's baseball. The Orioles – baseball starting pitchers average 5.25 innings pitched per start. 5.25, that's 5 1/4. That's less than 5 innings and 1 out, because that's 5 1/3. Mm-hmm. So they average fewer than 5 innings and 1 out. In the last 15 starts, you know how many Orioles starters have gone under 5 innings? 2. Suarez, because he didn't have it, and Povich, because he didn't have it. Everything else, 5-5-7-6-6-5-7. When you take these pitchers out of games, it's because they did their job in this inning, and the next inning maybe have bad matchups for them. Jeremy, that's why you take them out. That's how you manage bullpens.
The thing that gets frustrating about this, and I've had this conversation, I used to be just like a lot of other people watching games and going, oh, my God, he's got 85 pitches. He can throw another inning. Okay, when he brings him out and then that guy gives up 2 runs, it's like, why didn't he take him out last inning? It's always after the fact, and I'm not saying that the caller's being that way, but like we had this conversation the other day about relievers. They usually pitch one inning. You're not seeing it that often where guys pitch two, except in the postseason. Or if you guys remember back, what were we talking about? How scared some of these teams were of the Orioles, that the Yankees used their closer to get 4 and 5 outs. The Blue Jays did the same thing early on in the season. So like I think sometimes you see knee-jerk reactions because of that. But the other thing that people don't know is what they have available in the bullpen. Who's sick? Who's battling something? Who has this many pitches they can throw?
Or matchups.
It's just different now. Did anybody ever happen to see the Tigers had one of their relievers start 2 games in a row?
Yeah. Bo Brisky's been like, they throw him out there all the time.
He might start the opener.
He might start 3 games in a row and just go an inning. And then
that's
again,
crazy.
I know.
That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I'm like, I thought I was watching like Groundhog Day or something. Like, didn't he just go
yesterday?
He always made me think of that Saturday Night Live skit. Bo Brisky, he once open mouth kissed a mountain lion. Was that Bill Bratsky? But yeah, I mean, look, the guys, the way Detroit has worked things, it looks really good how they're doing it. But is this a fad, the opener? Because we've seen Tampa do it, we've seen Milwaukee do it. Like teams are trying different things, and they've gotten hot at the right time. But like, this is what I get into all the time when we talk about bullpens. People only bitch about it when it goes wrong.
Uh-huh.
They don't call in and say, man, that was a great move leaving that guy in or taking him out that time, because It's only a matter of what went wrong for fans to complain. And by the way, I'm glad that fans aren't the ones deciding who gets fired and who gets hired, because we'd have a new manager every week.
We bring some back. By the way, yes, last night, yeah, the Orioles used a lot of pitchers last night. They used 7. Yankees used 5. You got to get the dub. Do whatever you got to do. West Baltimore, Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, first of all, you know, a lot of these reporters just want a lot of people like you said, I think Ed said that about getting a name for themselves and stuff like that and all. Look, being a former player, been in that position before with them guys that, remember, they still a young team. Now, next year, it may be a little more different story. You got to figure that the pitching, which I probably thought would outdo the hitting, but the hitting wind up outdoing the pitching, if you know what I mean. Now, as far as the other big league teams and stuff like that, which is the big markets, of course, a lot of pressure is put on them. Why? Because they're spending a hell of a lot of money to try to not only get the fans in the seats, also trying to get people TV revenue and everything else and all. As far as the Orioles, stay on plan and do what you need to do. Next year, I'm calling it right now, it's going to be the Giants and it's going to be the Orioles in the World Series. Y'all take it easy.
You take it easy, too. 410-583.
Black and orange.
105.7. World of Stupid at 845, but on the other side. Talking more Orioles baseball from Baltimore Baseball tonight. Ryan Ripken joins us up next on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Joining us right now from Baltimore Baseball tonight, he is Ryan Ripken. Good morning to you, Ryan.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Doing well. Man, you know, the Orioles are starting to look like they're trying to tune up for postseason play. It is good. Getting Mountcastle back last night, all the guys coming back. How much different is this Orioles in the outlook of the postseason with some significant players back in the lineup?
Well, you know, it's crazy. Not crazy, but it's a good reminder, right? And this is why you got a full 162, because it feels like the emotions, your roster construction, how you view the team changes throughout the course of a season. And I thought 2023 was not a fair representation of that, because it kind of felt like a fairy tale until the postseason, right? Nothing went wrong. The team won every game. And every situation, they found a way to win. And then this year, you go through losing all the injuries of players and key players. Then you go on a inconsistent streak over 2+ months. But then all of a sudden, you get in. Some guys get healthier. And then you can just feel this new breath of fresh air. So how important could it be for the Orioles to make a run? They right now could have everything that they need. A couple pitchers that they can trust at the top of the rotation. Jordan Westberg back. Ramon Urias, good to see him swinging the bat well. And then Ryan Mountcastle. This Baltimore team could be getting hot at the right time. And it's kind of like what we saw with two teams last year in the Rangers and Diamondbacks. So it's a lot to love if you're a Baltimore fan.
I agree. Good to see them back. You talk about guys you're confident with at the top of your rotation. I would assume there's three. Who would be your number? Would Suarez be your number four at this point?
Albert, yeah. I think Big Al would be fourth. I think Dino's earned that three spot, you know, especially with how he's been pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize. I think Rocco Sanger tweeted out last night was – Dean's pitched in a lot of the clinching moments for Baltimore here recently. Which is really cool. And but I think Albert, which is to me, he is that kind of Swiss Army knife. And I like the fact that he knows how to come out of the bullpen. I think I've talked with you guys before. Not everyone knows how to do that. So for Albert to be like, hey, man, we need you to come bail us out here in the third inning. Say someone gets in trouble. I feel like he can fit that, and also, hey, can you start a game? He can bring that value, too. But I think that Albert will be slotted in as your four. But after Dean got hit by the line drive in the forearm, I texted him again, dude, I'm going to have to do that before the postseason. But he looks sensational. I think that's really encouraging for the team.
Hey, Ryan, did you do Baltimore baseball tonight with Bordy last night?
I did.
Yeah, thanks for carrying the show, man. It was awesome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
You carried it so much that he didn't even know you were on, Ryan. Think about that. Ryan, were you on that show? Yeah, you carried it. I did the hell out of that show.
I was almost positive he was on there. Anyway, Ryan, just looking at matchups and things in the postseason, because I think it's very easy to kind of clear your mindset and go, okay, everybody's 0-0 now, as cliche as that sounds, but do you think this team can kind of flip a switch now that some of the players are back and possibly make a run in the postseason?
Heck yeah. I mean, and look, this is what, like, baseball postseason is like no other postseason. Maybe you can throw hockey in there too, the NHL playoffs, where where it's like, you know, the Florida Panthers got scorching hot and the Boston Bruins, who had that unbelievable historic regular season, then they get bounced, right? So that could happen. That's a similarity. But truly for baseball, you just got to get in. And then you just got to feel like you can get the right guys at the right moment. And, I mean, I don't like to compare Texas all the time. Well, actually, I'm lying to you. I'd love to compare the Rangers because they're the closest thing to me to Baltimore, a team that can drive the ball to the ballpark, had an up-and-down stretch. You know, the Rangers were 50-51 to close the season last year. The Arizona Diamondbacks tried to miss the playoffs last year, and yet they win the first round, and they had this new sense of life. So there is a real thing of getting into the wild card round, and if you can win that round, move on. And keep in mind, fellas, 300-win teams last year, only one of those teams actually won a game in the divisional round. That just goes to show how unpredictable the postseason can be.
Ryan Ripken joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ryan, Brandon Hyde won Manager of the Year last year. He did a sensational job, 101-win team. However, with all the injuries that this team had this year and the fact that with a little less than a week they've already clinched a trip back to the postseason, I would argue that he had done a better job this year than he did even last year.
Hey, who are you mentioning, Rob?
Brandon Hyde.
Brandon Hyde?
Yeah.
Well, so Hyde, you know what? Did you guys see his little speech before the toast?
Yes.
So, you know, and talk about the emotion. You know, talk about a guy that he's taking a lot of heat.
Yes.
Right, in general. And I never thought that was fully warranted, to be honest, because sure, things aren't going to be perfect. Sure, he goes to his selection of he wants to play analytics, and you're not going to agree with everything that he does. But a guy that truly, truly has embraced trying to change his culture around, a guy that has really, if you look at it, he's done a lot of the right things. Not always the right thing, but a lot of the right things. And he's a guy that, you know, I saw a report saying, oh, he lost the clubhouse. That looked like a guy that lost the clubhouse and wasn't fighting for his guys. So I think Brandon Hyde has done a tremendous job. Also, Ryan O'Hearn calling out Twitter, too, last night was pretty funny. But just goes to show, Brandon Hyde deserves credit. And for a team that had so many injuries, a lot of teams were falling out of the mix. They stayed in it. And a big reason, you got to give credit. And also, he takes blame. You got to give credit for helping this team that he's helped get back to the postseason for the first time in consecutive seasons in 27 years.
Ryan, do you think in the postseason we're going to see a left-handed lineup, a right-handed lineup, and that's that? Because the only question I would have is, with a left-handed lineup, do we see Kjerstad in there? Because it looks like if Mountcastle's back, then you would expect Ryan O'Hearn to possibly DH. I don't know, when we get a right-handed pitcher on the mound, of course.
Yeah, I think you're going to try to trust your guys in certain situations, right? You know, and I think that's, man, 8:40 in the morning, you're going to ask me that question right now? but in all seriousness, it's a good problem to have. I think Ryan O'Hearn, though, I'd like to see him in the lineup DH-ing. I love what Heston does, and you know you can plug and play. If Ryan Mountcastle feels good, I want to roll with Ryan Mountcastle at first base, and I want to roll with him in the lineup just because what he can bring both defensively and offensively is something that you really got to consider. So I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I think for a lot of guys, the veteran presence still, I think that does matter for some of these young guys who are going to be experiencing true postseason pressure for the first time.
There he is, Ryan Ripken. Ryan, thanks a lot, my friend. Let's get this team over 90 wins and some momentum headed to the postseason.
Hey, I like the sound of that. You guys enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
You thanks, too, Ryan. Man. You
too, man. Daily Line, Jeremy Kahn at 9 o'clock. We got a double dip with Jeremy Kahn.
Yes.
Because up next is the World of Stupid.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some interesting stuff. I want to get your guys' take on a few different stories that I have here. One of which, we're going to talk about a brawl at King's Dominion. Are we seeing too much mass chaos with the youth at some of these, whether you want to talk amusement parks down in the city? We've seen a lot of crazy things going on, so I'll tell you the story of what happened at King's Dominion right down in Virginia. We're also going to talk about squatters in California have completely taken over a 10,000 square foot, $6.5 million Hollywood Hills mansion that was owned by the Philadelphia Phillies owner John Middleton's son. And they're not giving it back. In fact, they've tagged the hell out of this house with spray paint. And lastly, is it okay for players to date? We don't ever talk about this in sports, a lot of men's sports, because we don't, you know, you don't hear about a lot of guys coming out and dating other players. But in women's sports, it's a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a situation with the Fever playing the Connecticut Sun. To one woman on each team, they're dating each other. They went home together after the game. Is this a dilemma or should this be allowed? We're going to talk about it, have a unique conversation on this when we come back in the World of Stupid. All right, let's start this thing off. Let's talk about King's Dominion. Are you guys big fans of music parks? I think we've talked about something like this before. Rob, you?
I used to be, not anymore.
Yeah, I like...
When kids were younger, I did.
I always like going to them. I like going more for the sights and the food. I hate waiting in lines. Anybody that knows me, if I go to a concert and you're playing an encore, you're going to see me creep out before the encore starts because I hate sitting in traffic.
We have an encore on the show every day.
I get out of here every single time. I don't listen to that damn thing. It's terrible. Who comes up with that? Oh, Joe does. All right. So, but no, like I can't ride rides anymore. Like I don't know what it is, what's happened to me as I've gotten older. People said,
that's the key. You've gotten older.
Well, I mean, but you guys have the same problem. Like if you rode a roller coaster, it would cause you to throw up.
No. No, I don't like amusement parks because I don't like standing in line for roller coasters.
Yeah.
If there was no line, I'd love it.
Well, we always got...
Robbie and I love roller coasters.
We always got there early, like right when it opened, and then we'd sprint to what the most popular ride was going to be right, so we didn't have to wait in line. But I found out a while ago that like I can't ride rides anymore because I just get sick. It just makes me throw up. It makes me throw up. I could never throw up. Anyway, getting to King's Dominion here, the theme park broke down into mass...
You throw up a lot, dude.
I do, yeah.
I mean, so much.
What do you want me to do? I was arguing.
I don't want you to do anything, but you say it with such surprise. It's like all of a sudden you're like, I can't go on rides anymore. It makes me throw up. Walking makes you throw up. Getting out of bed makes you. Driving makes you throw up.
That's not true.
Excuse me.
I mean, sometimes it does, but like not always.
Have you thrown up in your car?
Yes.
While it's moving?
No, because I've thrown up and held it in my mouth and spit it out the window. God forbid what the side of my car looked like and the
car
behind
you.
What the hell is it raining now? Are those peas?
Yeah. Raining pea soup.
Anyway, so Sergeant Steve Willis of the Hanover County Sheriff's Office said the incident happened Saturday night following a recent stabbing of an 18-year-old at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg and fights in late August involving juveniles at the nearby Chesterfield County Fair. I've seen fights break out at these carnivals that we've had here locally.
Yeah.
All these types of events and different things. Like, we have the state fair and... Why do you have to be worried every time you're going out? When you're going to an amusement park, it's supposed to be fun. Now, I know people cut line and do stupid things. They're selfish, whatever. And it can upset you. But really, you're going to let that ruin your day? Because now these amusement parks have Fast Pass, where it's like you can buy it and just kind of hold it up and say, hey, losers, you're waiting in line. Look at what I'm doing.
What if everybody gets a Fast Pass, though?
Yeah. Well, then you got to get the
you get near the line.
Then you got to get the faster pass. And that's what they'll do. They'll sell that next.
Why is the Fast Pass line longer than the regular line?
It's like the TSA pre-check line now.
It's getting longer and longer.
It's longer than the regular security line.
I kid you not. I got through the TSA quicker than someone who got in that clear line.
Absolutely.
Well, let me move on to this next story because now you're going to be worried about amusement parks and fights breaking out. How about this? Squatters in California have completely taken over 10,000 square foot home, $6.5 million Hollywood Hills mansion. It's owned by the Philadelphia Phillies owner's son. And they're not giving it back. And I've asked this before. I don't understand how this works. Like, once they get in, they can just stay there?
See, I've got this story mixed up. So this is squatter in terms of people taking it home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was squatters as terms of how Jeremy pees.
No, I don't squat. I sit down.
Yeah,
I thought you squatted.
No. I got to sit down. I'm not.
In public bathrooms?
Well, no, I'll use a urinal in public bathrooms just because I don't want people to think I'm pooping.
You sit down in urinals in public?
No. I just go. I just in the urinal, like you're supposed to, like a good boy does. And but no, when I'm at home, I'm peeing sitting down. My wife will walk in. What are you doing? Are you pooping? No, I'm peeing. If I was pooping, that door would be locked. I want to poop alone. I don't want to poop with friends. Just how it goes.
I poop alone.
All right, give me the squatters.
For at least
so much better.
For at least 2 years, we know it's been empty. They tried to find the owner. So it's like this big million-dollar house mm-hmm. that nobody's using. And these people were like, well, I guess we can take it. You can claim somebody's home now if they haven't been there in a while?
Not that I know of.
That's it. I'm moving out. My kids are grown. They're fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to find somebody's house that's not there, and I'm just going
to
occupy.
I got the laws if you want them.
Go ahead, tell me.
In California, squatters can gain legal ownership of property through a process called adverse possession if they meet certain conditions over a period of 5 years. Open and notorious, the squatter's presence must be known to others. The squatter must occupy the property without the owner's consent. The squatter must have sole control of the property. The squatter must live on the property for a continuous period of at least 5 years. The squatter must act as if they have a legal right to the property. And then the squatter must pay property taxes.
How does that make sense?
How does somebody in your house for 5 years, you're not there?
Well, I guess if you abandon it and never go back.
There are a lot of people that have summer homes and you know, like you're looking at some of the wealthy.
5 years in between time to visit?
Dude, it doesn't surprise me. And what if they come back and visit and you skate out and then you come back in when they leave? You know, like,
but it has to be consecutive, though, every day, right?
Who's the one that's going to tell you that they weren't there? Like, you know, I don't know who's keeping track of it. But that whole thing, it's so ass backwards. If you own something, how can somebody just take it and say...
Even if you don't use it.
You weren't using it. Right. I'm taking this now.
Right. This says that...
Robbie does that to me all the time.
Yeah. Robbie's squatting on you, man. You got to get on him.
The property owner can contest the claim, and courts will decide if the squatter meets the legal standards. Successful claims are rare.
That's unbelievable.
Hey, the owner can protest the claim. The owner.
The owner has to protest it, yeah.
All right,
the owner has to prove.
But yes. I got to prove the paperwork and the payments aren't enough. Well, you weren't using it, so.
What state was that?
California.
California.
No need to don't even rest for a case.
All right, let's get to this story because.
Wait, everybody's leaving there.
Former Sun teammates, and also they were college teammates, one transferred. These girls have been dating since college. Dawana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas will play
really?
Together. Yeah. They've been dating since college. They'll play together in the first round. This has already started NBA or WNBA.
Oh, Alyssa
playoffs.
Thomas is right.
Yeah, yeah.
The Maryland.
One of the, I mean, just phenomenal basketball player. But she also transferred, right, to another school.
Who, Alyssa Thomas?
Yeah.
No, she did Fort Maryland.
Dawana Bonner will play together in the first round. But Connecticut's DeJounte Carrington and Indiana's Nalisa Smith won't be as lucky. The WNBA stars have reportedly been dating since Carrington transferred from Stanford to Baylor for her senior year. Smith was a junior for the Bears during that 2020-21 season. Now, I don't know if you saw this because the one girl's the girl that poked Caitlin Clark in the eye and everybody was saying it was intentional. But after they won the game, she went up, she goes, "You're not mad at me, are you, babe? Babe, are you mad at me?" They drove home together. She goes, "Don't talk to me." Now, I wanted to bring this up because I don't care about it personally. You know, surprise. If you want to date whoever the hell you want to date. But is there an issue with this in sports now with people dating each other on separate teams? We don't talk about it often because you don't see it happen on the men's side because of the
maybe
machismo.
Not separate teams, but I could see it being a problem on the same team.
Okay. What about you, Ed?
On opposite teams, I have a problem with it.
Because like if you and Rob wanted to date, I wouldn't have an issue with it. Like, it's okay. We work together. Yeah. I mean, you guys would share suits and stuff.
We're
on the same team.
Other people.
Yeah.
That's your world of stupid.
No, seriously. Because think about it. If you say it was two guys in different football teams or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to share tendencies and playbook secrets. And when you guys do this, we do this. And, you know, red is the live color this weekend. I don't know.
I ain't sharing nothing with nobody.
I'm too competitive.
I'm way too competitive. I want to whip your ass because. Yeah, not the other way around.
Again, I just throw it out there. Double standard?
I have good friends who are coaches we go up against. Those are the ones I want to beat the most.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not romantically involved with them, so I guess that's a different line.
That's your world, stupid.
Todd Kopovitz joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, do you think Sunday's game will give us the best idea of who the Ravens really are? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.